Today we're carrying on in our sermon series called Build Together, and today's a key day in our church because this is the day we sign up for Grace Teams, and we invite you to come and bring your strength, bring the grace that God put on your life, and serve us. Let's serve one another and serve the kingdom and the purposes of God. And so it's a very exciting thing for me. It's a very near and dear to my heart moment that we do here. And because we're doing this and this is the focus, I want us to jump to the scripture that is probably the preeminent scripture on grace teams, of grace giftings. There are three sets of giftings, as many of you may know. The seven lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament. No two lists are alike, but those seven lists represent three distinct sets of gifts. Each set of gift is given by a member of the Godhead, but all the gifts are administered by all the Godhead. All the gifts are from the Father for Jesus by the Spirit. So we separate them like this for clarity's sake, but I want you to know it's a little more complicated than I'm making it right now. But fundamentally, in generalization, there are three sets of gifts. Each one is connected with one of the members of the Godhead. The gifts that are connected with God the Father are called charisma, grace. Charisma is the Greek word. We get our English word charisma from it, but charisma is the Greek word for gifts that proceed from grace. Charis is the Greek word for grace. So when the scripture says we have different charisma according to the charis that has been given to us, we have different gifts according to the grace God put on our life. So we call them grace gifts here at Northlands. And those gifts are the ones, and we're going to go to that in Romans 12 and just read that. Those gifts are most commonly associated with the Father because God gives grace, God the Father. The gifts that are associated with Jesus are called doma in the Greek. They are a presence that is given. They are the gifts of the bridegroom, which the bridegroom gave to his prospective bride at the engagement feast when he left her to go and prepare a place for her. This was common Jewish tradition. Jesus left gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, to equip his bride for return. Those gifts are mentioned in the scriptures in Ephesians 5 and are most commonly associated with Jesus. The set of gifts that is most commonly associated with the Holy Spirit are the ones found in Corinthians 12 and include speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirits, gifts of miracles, healings, and a gift of faith. Those are the gifts found in Corinthians 12, most commonly associated with the Holy Spirit. Today, we are celebrating the beauty of the grace gifts because of all the sets of gifts, grace gifts are the ones that the Bible teaches that every single person has. And while it talks about the doma gifts, the ones that Jesus gives, it says he gave to some, and the gifts the Holy Spirit gives, it says we can all function in them, but we don't all function in them at all times because the Holy Spirit will, in a meeting like this, if everybody prophesied just for 1 minute, we'd be here for almost 4 hours. So the Holy Spirit, although everybody, Paul says, I wish you could all prophesy, not everybody's going to prophesy in every meeting. Does that make sense? So we're going to focus on grace gifts, which is what we're passionate about here, because at Northlands we believe that if you're going to serve, serve using the grace that God put on your life, which is altogether scriptural. But let me take you to Romans chapter 12, and we'll start there with this. Last week, we looked at four elements that are necessary, I think, to ignite and to create what we call soul-satisfying priesthood of all believers. Everybody growing in their calling in God. Everybody pressing in. Everybody shiny-eyed in what God's got for them. And we said the four elements were a clear vision, which I think we have, grace-based service opportunities, and this is what we're talking about now. The third one was enthused priests, people who are actually leaning forward and excited. I actually want my life to count. I actually want to throw my hat in the pot. You can count on me. Sign me up. I'm here to serve. And then four is servant leaders, leaders who know that it's not all about them, but they exist, their job exists to create shiny eyes and launch other people into the calling of God on their life. But come with me to Romans 12. And let me just take you to the preeminent scripture on grace gifts. And this is Paul speaking. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's leading, do it diligently. If it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. Nobody likes a grumbly mercy giver. Had it show mercy gain. Terrible. Says do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love or love, and honor one another above yourselves. This is the context of grace gifts. So I want to take us through that just a little bit at a time, because I want to talk about these realities of grace giftings. Firstly, I want to just focus on four different issues, because I'm going to build us up through the scripture to get back to a sober view of ourselves. And so the first thing I want to talk to is that Paul points out that there are different gifts given to each one of us. Different gifts according to the grace given to us. And I spoke about that charis and charisma. I want you to think this through with me, because when God gives you grace, he gives you a grace, and out of the beauty of the revelation of that grace, out of the wonder of his love, he then equips you to go ahead and serve him. But it's not the service of dire obedience and you better shine up and you owe God, and if you don't do this, God's going to get you. No, it's the stuff of how beautiful is my Savior. Look what I get to do. So I want to read to you from a book that I'd recommend, The Hyper Grace Gospel, not to be confused with a book called Hyper Grace. But this is called The Hyper Grace Gospel by Paul Ellis. I'd recommend it to you. But he says this, this is what he says. In the mouth of a mixed-graced preacher, in other words, they preach a little bit of grace, a little bit of law. In the mouth of a mixed-grace preacher, words like responsibility and duty are the cattle prods of performance-based Christianity. They convey a sense of obligation that leaves us debt-conscious rather than grace-conscious. Jesus didn't suffer and die to put you in his debt. He did it to show you how much he loves you. The idea that you are obliged now to repay him for his priceless sacrifice is ludicrous. What can you give him in consideration for his grace? There is nothing. The instant you give him anything, it ceases to be grace. Your only duty is to say, thank you, Jesus. In a mixed grace environment, you'll feel the pressure to perform and to live up to the expectations of others. But walk under pure grace and you'll find there is no pressure, only the freedom to be who God made you to be. Man-made religion will tell you that you have a responsibility to deliver results for the Lord, but your only responsibility is to shine as a dearly loved child of God. You understand this gospel of grace. You understand that God then, on top of that, on top of the finished work, gave you something. Let me put it this way. Imagine you have a senior in high school, two friends, and they both apply for college. And the one gets accepted to the college of their dreams, and the other gets a letter of deferment. And they start, they've got another 6 months to go at high school, but the one is secure. They're settled. I'm going to whatever, Harvard. I got into Harvard. Yay! Or Yale, or whatever it is. Or Georgia Tech, you know, whatever. You know, that's your thing, whatever it is. I got into the college of my dreams. That's what I want to do. And you got the letter and they go, man, we're so looking forward to you to come. And the other gets this letter of deferment. And they're taking the same courses. And they both start to do extracurricular. So they're in band and they're playing sport and they're in the debate club and whatever else. And the person who has his letter saying you're accepted goes about doing things that he likes doing. Hey, it'd be fun to learn this, or it'd be nice to go there. The person who does not yet know that they're deferred is now working like crazy. For them, the decision about what extracurricular activities I need to be involved in is constantly weighed and considered against what will they like, What could I do? How could I get accepted? And so they spend their life. And at the end of those 6 months, what is most likely is the one who got his letter of acceptance has been doing everything, and he's been involved just as much as the guy who hadn't got his letter. And they've been doing the same amount of work, except the one guy feels like, it's the very thing I wanted to do, and the other guy's exhausted. When we ask people to serve in grace teams, it is not from the perspective of, if you don't, God is going to get mad with you. It's from the perspective of, how beautiful has God been to you? And what's more, he gave you an ability. He gave you multiple abilities. And he goes, hey, why don't you use that grace I put on your life to serve the body? Because you get to share in grace flowing onto other people. That's the invitation. It's not a duty. It's a joy. You have, the Bible says, these grace gifts on everybody's life who believes according to the grace. And the more you understand grace, the more joyful using your grace gift becomes. That's very cool. Secondly, Paul says, one of the things you'll learn is that each member belongs to all the others. This is fascinating to me. In the context of us using our grace giftings, Paul says, listen, I need to create a context because this is not you as an individual using your grace gift. This is not primarily about me as an individual using my grace gifts. This is about me in the context of a body using my grace gifts. And that's a different picture. And Paul never uses grace gifts outside of this context of a body. He says this is body life usage of your grace. It is never primarily for you. It's always for us. And so some of the time I watch people come and they have this kind of attitude of like, hey, I'm really good at this. And you know, let me, you know, but I'm not getting my full due. You're not recognizing how brilliant I am at this. I go, yeah, it's not really about that here. I mean, I do recognize it, but we bring our grace that he has graced us with, and we bring it to serve other people. How about this? There are some places in God that you will only ever see when you are correctly aligned with the rest of the body of Christ. When you get into mutual submission and love and connection with the rest of the body of Christ, that environment opens up vistas to you in God that otherwise are completely hidden from you when you don't commit to that level of connection. Let me prove it to you various ways. 1 Timothy 3 talks about those who serve well gain an excellent understanding of every good thing that is theirs in Christ. Isn't that fascinating? Through committed service, I gain understanding. How about Ephesians 4? It says that the whole body builds itself up in love as each part goes about doing its work. So the moment I commit to my work, I start to develop in love. How about Colossians 2? Paul says, my goal is that they be encouraged in heart and united in love. Why? So that they have the full riches of complete understanding. This is fascinating. Encouraged in heart, united in love. When you're united in love, you have the full riches of understanding. How about 1 Peter? It talks about wives, clothe yourself with submission towards your husbands. Husbands, clothe yourself with dignity and respect and consideration towards your wife. And it's a fascinating scripture in 1 Peter 3. It says, when you do this, nothing will hinder your prayers. Isn't that interesting? So I can't take an arrogant posture and a dismissive posture towards my wife and expect my prayers to have all the power and glory because there are certain vistas that will be open to us when we adopt the clothing that is ours in Jesus Christ. Vistas open up to you and places in God open up to us. So when we commit to serving one another with the grace that God put in our life, I'm going to share the grace. God gave it to me to disseminate. And here I am. I'm sharing the grace of God. Suddenly, finally, when we all do that, things, revelations, understandings open to the church that will not be available to the people who don't commit to that. Each member belongs to the others. It's just beautiful to me. He says, for just as we have one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function. I love this one because I don't have the same function as other people, and what it forces me to do then is recognize there's a body. And I don't care if you're part of the eye, you can be the most beautiful eye on the planet. And that's wonderful. And if that's all you focus on, of being the most beautiful eye on the planet, and you eventually attain that goal, one day you're going to wake up and realize, but there's another eye that needs to work with me. And I'm not just an eye, because all I can see is this. And if my neck's not working, all I'm still going to see is this. So my neck has to work so I can look. And my feet have to move me elsewhere. And so it's beautiful that you find perfection in the calling of God on your life. But it's a very, very small piece of what God's trying to do. The only time that I find I can function well is when I have a discernment that I'm in a body. And so suddenly what happens is I get a passion, not only to excel in the grace of God on my life, but to celebrate the grace of God on your life. And then after a while, I begin to go, not only do I celebrate the grace of God on your life, but I understand that I desperately need the grace of God on your life. And suddenly when I see somebody else functioning in the grace on their life, it wells up in me a deep, rich gratitude to them because I'm saying, thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing what you do because I am enriched because you're doing what God called you to do. And so if you see grace gifts outside of this concept of the body, you just get this weird, warped idea. This is a beautiful thing. We don't have all the same function, which means that I can find some people who are completely different to me and celebrate and find deep satisfaction in the grace of God on their life. Thank you for what you do. I'm serious. I don't say to everybody, thank you for what you bring. That means I get to be celebrated for what I bring. And you get to be celebrated for what you bring. And let's let the Lord decide what was more important. Amen? And Paul builds up to this. He said, well, if you're going to, here's he starts. This, by the grace given me, I say to you, don't think of yourself in any other way but with sober judgment. And so I want to just talk just very briefly about sober judgment, and then we're going to start interviewing some people about some of the teams. Sober judgment. Sober means that you're clear in your head and heart. We were driving some years back down the road, and this car was just wandering across, and slowing down. And so it was like 7 o'clock at night, and cars were pulling off the road, getting out of the way, and we drove past, and there was a lady who was clearly under the influence of something. She was either very drunk or very high, and she was leaning and driving and waving, and we were like, I've seen some people drunk driving at 5 miles an hour because it feels like, you know. See, when you're not sober, you're not completely aware that you're being weird. Sila, yeah. Think on that. And so Paul exhorts us. He goes, listen, guys, think of yourself with sober judgment. And so my question is, what is sobriety? How do I see myself accurately in the Spirit? When Paul puts the first one, he said, faith. He said, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. And that means that if I'm going to think of myself soberly, I go, what am I believing God for? What is actually producing? What is coming forth out of my life? What is my faith producing? And so Paul said, don't think of yourself in accordance with what you know or where you've been or other people you've heard or some great sermon you heard. Don't think of yourself in the theoretical realm. Think of yourself in terms of faith. What proceeds out of my life? What is currently the fruit I'm producing? Let your opinion of yourself be attached and connected to what is coming out of my life. What fruit is being produced? The faith that God has given you. Secondly, is what I would call the feeling side of things, and that's understanding this concept that I'm in a body, that I need to develop a capacity to embrace and celebrate the diversity of gifting that God put in the body, that I understand that there are many members with multiple functions, and that the contribution of all belongs to all the others, all the stuff we've just talked about. That this faith, and then this if I'm going to soberly view myself, I have to soberly view myself in the context of a body. So I've met some people who are not sober because all they see is their gifting, and all they know is their passion. And when they encounter somebody with a different passion or a different gifting, they tend to be hostile towards them. They tend to be somebody who devours their ministry, not enlarges it. They don't stir and encourage and say, praise God. They go, you're out of line. You're not me. The me monster kicks in, you know. See, this is me, and you're here. You see the difference? So this feeling piece is important to me. It's majorly important. Think of yourself soberly according to your faith, but thinking in terms of the feeling. I was going to say the body, but I needed an F because the next one is follow through. The silent F in body, all right? Follow through. If you're going to have a sober judgment, you have to think about, do I complete the project? One of the things I find is that, and it's true in my life just as much as I guess in other people's lives, is that I think that because I understand an idea or I get a vision, that I'm the best person to execute and complete that vision. That doesn't necessarily hold true. And so sometimes people come with vision, and because they were the initiator of the idea, they assume that they will be the person appointed to execute that idea. That makes sense to anyone? And the problem is, sometimes my ideas comfortably outstrip my ability to execute them. Sometimes my ability to communicate an idea outstrips my ability to see it done. And so if we're not careful, everybody wants to sign up to be the on the team where we give ideas. Hey, imagine if we should do this. You go, yay. They go, now go ahead and execute. I didn't sign up. So the creation of multiple grace teams is not multiple think tanks who then pass the ideas on to the staff and go, make it happen, guys. I remember that idea I gave you. You didn't do it very well. I mean, you could have. So when Paul says, think of yourself soberly, think about and follow through. It's wonderful. Great ideas are beautiful, but I have to take an idea and I have to put it into the context of our body. I have to submit it to what the Lord is saying to us right now. Some great ideas, some very important things I can't get to right now because the most important thing is what we're focusing on right now. So the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to deal with this right now. Yes, sir. And we are executing on that for the next 8 weeks. And people come to me, here's a great idea. I go, yes, it is. I go, why haven't you executed on my idea? Because firstly, I didn't sign up to execute your idea. And secondly, it's not the thing the Holy Spirit's focusing on. Is everybody understanding? So I just want to go, if we're going to have sobriety is part of it is, there may be some ideas that you bring, but you're sober enough to know, I'm not the person to lead that. Because all of us, given a choice, would like to lead. Because we all have this picture about leadership that it's the fun stuff. It's always the... And I've discovered it's very, very seldom that. Mostly, you get the most criticism and the most people speaking behind your back and going, what did he do? And so faith, feeling, and follow through constitute sobriety to me. Now, In just a little while, we're going to have some interviews and we're going to talk to some of the other teams that, you know, we divided our teams into four distinct groupings. And guest services the next. I'm going to ask Tom and Michelle if they join me up here. But we're going to talk through some of that. But at the end of this service, we're going to ask you to sign up and consider. Under your seat, you'll find a pen and a little sign-up sheet. It looks like this. You'll find it under your seat, and it'll have all the teams on it, all the teams listed. And if you would go ahead and start, you know, while you're listening, you can fill out your name and your phone number and your email, and consider which team you want to sign up. Some of you already know. You may just fill that in now, but some of you may come to a decision as we speak. So I'm going to ask if the guys could just help us with this, and we're going to play a little promo, and then we'll start with those introductions. Testing 1, 2. There you go. It was me. All is forgiven. One of the things we wanted to do is more than, because I really wanted to be careful this year that we don't create the sense that signing up to a grace team is an obligation. And although it would be my dream to have 100% of our members sign up, it really is, because I think, honestly, the scripture says each one should take responsibility to faithfully administer the grace God gave them. And so I value everybody in the church bringing the grace God gave you. It seriously is a value to me. And it's not a means to manipulate everybody to give I genuinely believe that if you brought the grace gift that came, that proceeded from the grace that God has given you, we are blessed because of it. And so we thought this year, what better way, rather than to just get up and list all the teams and go, you know, you ought to sign up, I thought what I wanted to do was get together with some of the leaders who are in those, who exemplify the passion of those teams, and just try and connect and say, why, what do you do? So Tom and Michelle have been kind of really working tooth and nail behind the scenes on guest services. And so thank you. I wanted to say firstly, but tell me why you think guest services are so important.
You know, for me, guest services is kind of the, it's said in the name of, you know, focuses on guests, but it's the arm of what we do in our grace teams that gets to extend to create a home environment or a welcoming environment for guests that come. And it really does start when they pull into the parking lot and come inside and the visitor signs and they come in to the facility. You know, the guest services team is within it is made up of four components, and so there's the welcome team, and you know, people are greeted at the door, and there's a host that would answer any questions you have and take you to children's ministry if you have children, or show you where the auditorium is and just meet and greet. And then we also have connectors who really look to get to know a person, maybe introduce them to some of the other people in the church that are like-minded or similar, you know, station in life. And we have, so that's kind of the welcome team. We have the children's ministry sign in the back, which is people come in with children, they get them signed in and explain the number system to them so that in the event that they are needed during service, they can know where to go and how to do that. Inside the auditorium, there's the ushers who help them find seats, help with the offering, communion and things like that. But it's really another opportunity for us to welcome people as they come, they visit. There's the security team, which we're giving tasers to this year. No, I'm just kidding. of the biggest sign up ever for security team. I mean, the security team is there to help in any way needed. When a parent is called out of the auditorium, they meet them and help them get to where they need to go. If there's a spill or some kind of an emergency or something, they help with that. And they just kind of oversee things, the parking lot and stuff like that. And then there's the maintenance team, which makes sure that everything is functioning and ready to go in all aspects of the facility. And so all of them together kind of work as, you know, as a united thing, as guest services to accomplish that atmosphere that's welcoming and kind of your home.
Yeah. You guys are both involved. What is it about guest services that you love? I mean, what's the beautiful moment?
I think for me, I absolutely love people, and I know that God loves people, and He's put that in me. And so my my feeling is that when people come to Northlands and they come in the doors for the first time, I want to make sure that they know that they're welcome here.
Yeah.
I need to make sure that I can try to identify what it is they came looking for. I mean, we all have needs of some kind, and so I feel like I need to find out what it is that they came for. Sometimes it's they're coming looking for a new church home. Maybe they're coming looking for friendship. Maybe they're coming looking to grow in their relationship with the Lord some way. Maybe they're coming to lend their strength. They're looking for a body of believers where they can serve. And so for me, it's really important that they come in, they feel welcome. They know that we want them here. They know that it's a safe place for them. If they have children, they have concerns about how are my kids going to, you know, adapt to this and trying to, I love to try to smooth that entrance for them and make it easy. I mean, we've all gone to a new place for the first time. It can be kind of awkward and, you know, so I try to make it as comfortable as I can, answering questions, showing them around, making sure that their first visit or second or third is just an ongoing, this is a good place for them, a good experience for them. And they know that they're wanted and they're loved, they're welcomed. And so that's my favorite thing, is just making sure if somebody walks away going, wow, I had a great time this morning. For me, that's a win because they felt like they belonged here and they were welcome. So I love that.
And I think for me, it's you know, we get to participate in something, you know, as a whole, as the body, that's pretty awesome. And so for me, you know, watching somebody walk in and be greeted and introduced to somebody, and whether they have children or not, check them in, and then they come into the auditorium and maybe meet a couple other people, and it's just this sense of, wow, this is nice, I think really opens the door for an opportunity to encounter the Lord. And so this encounter, and then I think what I love is being in Pastor's Cafe afterwards and seeing somebody come out, and you can tell by the experience that they had of their first time or second time, whatever it is, that they're saying, wow, I think we found, this is where we're supposed to be. God, how have you guys been hiding here all this time, you know? And just that sense of that they found exactly what they're looking for. To me, that's the snap of the bat that puts it over. You know, that's the thing that I love about it.
It's beautiful. It strikes me that there's a grace that is needed for this, because all these different philosophies on churches, you know, we've all read the very systemized church, and yeah. You know, there's the laid back kind of casual people. And so, like you said, you know, people coming for the first time to a new place are unsure, don't know what it's like, and are we weird, or, you know, what's going on? And they've heard stories, you know, about, you know, churches like us. And so I think that initial connection and the relatability of normal people and the age-appropriate connections and the, honestly, just the delicate balance between being warm and welcoming but not smothering, you know, is that balance. And that balance is different for different people. And so some people, you know, I remember we had Greg Palmer in the old days. He'd stand at the door and hug everybody who came in, you know. And, you know, half the people liked it, you know. And so, but the people who are not huggers are going, you know, who's this 6'4" guy hugging me, you know. So you have to learn, I guess there's the you know, people who are graced for this. It's kind of an intuition, you know, how far to go to make people feel welcome, but not too far to, so it's great. appreciate it. What anything that's unique about these teams that you feel, or anything special about them?
One of the things that I think is really cool or unique about guest services, well, two things. But one is that it's, you know, all of the guests all of the ministries that we have, the Grace teams, they're all vital. Guest services is really unique to guests who come. It's the one that reaches out to that. And so, though it's vital, it's not very taxing on time. You know, whether someone wants to serve on the welcome team, it's before service and after. The same with ushering. You know, it's before the service and after, and so they still get to participate in the service. If it's security team, it's once a month. If it's everyone serves once a month. If it's maintenance team, they get together once a month. And our goal this year is to really, and I'm pretty sure we'll be able to hit this, our goal is to have where everyone just serves once a month. And so the nice thing is it does allow an opportunity to potentially serve in another area as well.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a unique piece to it. Another thing is, even though it's guest services, there's a wide variety of places to serve. It can be just opening the door and saying hello to somebody and welcoming them in. It can be a host who, you know, gets a little bit more involved in how they heard about us and things like that. It can be a connector that's walking with them and gives them a tour of the facility. It can be as engaged as a person likes, or it can be not as engaged. Someone in security who's walking around, or in maintenance, just making sure the things are, you know, ready to go for each Sunday. So to me, those are the two unique things that really stand out for guest services.
Amen. So if you're somebody who's really good at this, and you intuitively get how to greet people and make people, especially guests, feel welcome, we'd love to have you sign up. Your grace would be tremendously valuable. And as Tom said, you know, it's not a high price, but it is a vital ministry in our church. So you might want to consider that. Thank you for leading this. We appreciate it. Bless you. It's good to have you guys. This is the beautiful people that look after student ministries in our church, and we're just so grateful for all of you. Appreciate it. We told them they're going to have to all turn the other cheek. You know, when if they do turn the other cheek, they have to do it together because they're all squished in on the couch. So let me start with you, Jenny, and thank you so much. Jenny's been with us since we prayed Jenny in very early days. It was one of our first prayers, Lord, send us someone for the kids. And the Lord just really gave us a gem in Jenny, and she's poured out her life for our kids. And you know, one of the things I've loved about this team is that the people who back there do things that are very difficult for me to express how worthwhile they are. And I know Liesl Crane has just stepped off the team, and she's served for a decade and just poured out her life, and you know, just it's just amazing. So Jenny, thank you for you and your team. We deeply appreciate what you do. Tell us about what teams are we talking about. What teams are involved in children's ministry?
Okay, I feel really overdressed right now. But anyway, for the children's teams, for the student teams at Northlands, I'll just start from the very youngest and work my way up. For our infants and babies, we have a ministry called Little Lambs, and that's for our youngest saints up till 2 years old. Then Jam Club, Jam starts with 2 to 5-year-olds. Jam stands for Jesus and Me. Jesus and Me Club is our preschool ministry. And then we have River Zone, which is kindergarten through fifth grade. And we also welcome any sixth graders that don't feel like they're ready to be in the adult service yet. And that's what we provide every Sunday.
Praise God. Tell me about why you serve in children's ministry, and how does it build the church?
Well, the reason that I serve in children's ministry is when you connect with the heart of passion that the Father has for the children. When you discover how God feels about reaching every child to connect with them intimately, and you get to be a part of helping that happen, there's a pleasure from heaven that is just released, that there's nothing like it. And that's why I've served in children's ministry for over 30 years, longer than some of y'all have been alive. And I'm not burned out, because you get to be a part of this amazing connection. And we go to the essential with the kids. You know, Jesus himself said that when you welcome the little children in my name, you welcome me. And when you welcome me, you welcome the Father who sent me. So being a part of this plan of God, I mean, really, my heart's the same as Greg's. From a very young age, I want to see people have God encounters with grace and the Holy Spirit. That's the whole goal and the mission statement. Whether your baby is in Little Lambs or you have a fifth grader, that's what we're going after, and that's what we're seeing.
Beautiful. Who are you looking for? If you could wave a magic wand and people would sign up, what kind of people are you looking for to join the Children's Church ministry team?
Well, our number one value is safety. So everyone who serves with us does complete a background check and attend training. But we really are looking for people. I mean, it may surprise you. Some of our team members and volunteers have come to me and said, look, I did this to help out because I knew it was a need and I thought, why not? But I'm the one that's blessed, and I look forward to my week in there every month. We're looking for people who are willing to come and be reliable, be prepared. In Little Lambs, we're looking for some people who are willing to come and be the hands and voice of Jesus as we love on these babies, minister to their spirit. You'd minister there. You'd serve once a month taking care of our babies in Little Lambs. Jam Club, we're looking for large group teachers who will lead a lesson with a curriculum that's provided. The preparation is just looking over the curriculum. All the other prop work is done for you. We're also looking for assistants in the preschool ministry. People will come along, the large group teachers, and help them be hands-on, corral children, be there to play with them, help them connect with Jesus. In River Zone, we have large group leaders that teach the whole group together object lessons and curriculum that we provide, as well as small group leaders. These are people who like to meet in groups of 6 to 10 children by age group, so they can take the lesson and really get more personal with it. And then we also need people who are willing just to come alongside and assist these group leaders. Yeah. So we look for people who are willing to serve in Little Lambs and Jam Club once a month. In the River Zone, K through fifth grade, we really prefer twice a month, because that way you get to know the kids and establish relationship. You know, if you heard Greg preach once a month, that would be different than getting to regularly establish where the Lord is taking the group. So we'd love to have you twice a month. If you can only serve once a month, we will work with you. So we're open and ready and excited to share what's going on with the kids in Northlands.
Amen. I have an agreement with Jenny. Jenny asked me, she said, if the Holy Spirit really starts to move in a very poignant way in the main body of the church, would you mind if we brought the children in? And I said, absolutely not, as long as it works the same way the other way around.
And it's happening. I mean, this morning we had our worship time with our worship team, because we're worshiping, we're learning the word, and we're being activated in our faith. And we had a time of just listening and soaking in the presence of the Lord. And afterwards, we began to share. An 11-year-old boy got up and shared that while he was worshiping, he felt that he was ushered right into the throne room of God. And he was choking back tears. And he said, I just feel like I want to cry because of the joy. And I said, how old are you? And he said, I'm 11. And I said, how do you feel about crying in front of people? Like, that's the worst thing in the world. But he's like, nothing's compared to what I'm experiencing.
Praise God.
So that was this morning. Amen. So just come and join us.
It is our goal that our children grow up empowered. The job is to equip children to know God by encountering grace and the Holy Spirit. That's their job. To equip children to know God by encountering grace and the Holy Spirit. And that's what we trust in God for. Jenny, thanks for all you do, and praise God. Yay. Nice to have you. Jack and Liesl. How did you guys, because I know the story, but I want you to tell them, how did you come to be youth leaders?
Well, we were sober, which helps a lot.
Very good.
Both kinds of sober. This time last year, Jack and I were looking for where we wanted to get involved. We had a real desire to serve and plug in, but we didn't know where our spot was. And so Greg and Michelle had us over for coffee one Friday night, and they said, would you guys consider doing youth ministry? And at the time, we were just like, no. Like, thank you, but no. It was a solid no. That's just not, it's not a good time for us. We don't really have a heart for it, to be honest. So that was on a Friday. And on Sunday morning, Jack and I both had encounters with the Lord. And I clearly heard the Lord say, you know, I don't need you to have the whole vision. I don't need you to have all the plans and everything set up. I just need you to be obedient. I just need you to say yes, because these are my children and I have such big things for them. I just need someone who will be open and just go where I'm going with them. So I went up to Jack after the service. I said, I think we're doing youth ministry. And he was like, yeah, we're definitely doing youth ministry. And that's literally how we came about.
Yeah, I was actually in River Zone serving alongside Jenny. And it's funny, I'm right in the middle of this, you know, because it was an amazing transition in the way that we're serving now with the young people. Is a huge credit to the space that I had in River Zone, serving there, and so it was an amazing time.
Praise God. What are you guys hoping to achieve this year in youth?
I think our number one goal is to tattoo as many people as possible. And the reason we did that this morning is we wanted to build the fan club of Bruce and Tyler. We love our elders here at Northland. So if Bruce and Tyler will stand up.
Bruce and Tyler, can we just see who you are?
Bruce and Tyler wave. There it is.
If you don't know them, their faces are on 95% of the church.
Now.
I think Tyler's winning. Excellent. So we really have some strong goals for the year. Spiritually, our focus is geared toward this year awakening the students to recognize that they are people of power. And that's the number one goal. If they leave every Saturday finding one or two things that they recognize that's within them in Christ, that they have the power and authority that's been invested in them by the Holy Spirit, and awakening them to transform lives and change lives and see their lives transformed by the Holy Spirit. And so we're thankful for the vision of the church because we're able to partner with that. And our goal this year is to get the church behind the youth and the youth behind the church, and seeing the way they mesh and seeing the way that they serve in an incredible way because of the way they know the Lord and the way that they know who he is in them and who they are now in him. And then on the other hand, we're looking to build an incredible community. As you can see, it started out in August. We went on our first retreat, kicking off the school year, and the friendships just haven't been the same. And so we want to build a history with each other. We want to be supporting each other with their games, extracurricular activities, meets, whatever it is, showing up. We're calling them happenings, and that's where Ignite just shows up and in the community. And finally, if we're getting them serving this year, we've done our job, because we want to activate them here in the community, here in Norcross and the surrounding areas, getting involved with what the Lord's doing, being involved with what the culture's doing, and serving the poor, praying for the sick, and sharing the gospel. And so they're ready to go, and so we want to activate them this year.
So our focus this semester is really outreach. We want to be in the community. We want to be loving on people. And for that reason, we have a little announcement of how we're going to be ending our year with Ignite. So if the media team's ready, we're going to show a little clip.
9 years ago, Northlands Church sent its first group of young people out to partner with the local church and build into their community. For years, the youth would gather each summer and travel to different cities. Their mission was to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. They traveled around the country, proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Now, it begins again. This summer, Ignite will take its youth people to Dothan, Alabama, and partner with Dothan Christian Fellowship to build into their vision and their city. Join us May 31st to June 7th on a journey of discovery, friendship, and ministry.
Wow.
Just a big thank you to Morgan Freeman coming in on the clutch last week.
Last
last
minute.
I was going to say, Liesl with a cold. You just go.
To any parents, we're going to meet for about 10 minutes right after the service, just to give you some basic information about that. But we're excited.
Lastly, because we're running out of time, but how can we help? I mean, youth ministry is vital, obviously. What can we do to help you guys?
For parents, showing up is the number one thing. Having the students there, the ministry of Northlands and the ministry of Ignite is driven by the students and the families that show up. And so if that's through finances, if that's through prayer, if that's through carpool to events, if that's through serving potentially on this retreat, we will be as available as possible, and we're going to get information out as ahead of time as we can. Some are last minute, group texts, but on Oasis, our calendar will be stocked and ready to go. So as a church, showing up and standing behind what we're doing. We believe that we're building something bigger than ourselves. We believe that the Lord has called these students to something incredible. So see them the way that the Lord sees them. That's the only eyes that we have. When we look at these students, we search the scriptures first and ask the Lord what he says. And so when your eyes and your ears are geared towards a tattoo day or, you know, confetti in the church or these students actually ministering here on a Sunday morning, leading a prayer meeting, if you show up and you, if we use Graham Cook's language, if you just renew your lens right quick, and see them rightly, then we will be blessed, and we will see the ministry of these young people grow, and you can have a huge part in that. And so we're calling y'all to that. We're calling y'all to partner with us in whatever capacity that you feel the Lord calling you to. So that's all we can ask.
Appreciate what you do. We thank you all. Student ministries is of high value for us. Bless you for what you do. Thank you. The Ministry of Incoming is part of the youth ministry as well, and so if you, I know there's some men that really serve on the incoming team, and we really appreciate that. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you would just take a few minutes, get to this card, fill out your name. If you would consider some of the teams, as you know, most people find one team is a nice ministry. As Tom mentioned, there are some people that have done dual duty on teams. If you would consider that, please, and just put it down. What we'll do is we'll take these up in just a few minutes. We'll take up an offering, and when we do, you can just put this in with the offering, and the office here will collate that, just so that we can get the teams gathered together, and we can take it from there. But we're very excited about this. This is our grand opportunity every year. Every year we find what happens is a wealth of joy is stirred in the church. And everything just is an ability for us to refocus, retool, and get going along with an agenda. So it's a very exciting thing. So if you would just fill that in, please, and just write it out, and we'll take up the offering in just a few minutes. One of my passions this year, and I want to ask, is that I would like to develop a team of people who are helping us with offering. One of the things that I believe very clearly is that the church is called to equip people to serve the Lord. And one of the issues is, I want to take up an offering every week, obviously, but there's different ways to do that. Most of our people give online. So this little piece of offering in the service is really just, I think we could do better with it, because what I actually want to use it for is to equip us all and how to be mature and wise in our financial worlds. And so I don't want the offerings to come across like, hey, this is a time for us to remind you that you ought to be faithful with your finances, but we say it with prettier words, you know? Because after a while, people go, you know, we know what you mean, just, you know, just. And so I'm tired of trying to sound like that's not actually what we're after. We're not actually after your money. We're actually after blessing you. But that actually is the reality of it. Because I'm convinced that if we can equip God's people to walk in a way that is biblical in their finances, the church will benefit from that. Does that make sense? So I'm going to be calling together a team of people to get up in services and help equip us for mature and biblical financial realities. And we're trusting God to do that more and more. And then equip us in how to be generous in this grace of giving. Paul said, you excel in many other areas. Now see to it that you also excel in this grace of giving. And he wasn't talking to individuals. He was talking to a group of people, a church. He said to the church, I want you to excel in the grace of giving. And so that's part of what we're shooting for this year, is to train us and equip us to excel in this grace of giving. But to do that, we need fiscal responsibility and a whole bunch of other things. So I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward, and they're going to take up an offering. And if you would just be diligent, please, to put this card in the offering basket. You may want to fold it if it doesn't fit easily, but you can just put this card in the offering as it comes round, and your offering as well. And we'd appreciate that. Thank you.